the very, very late rector of St. Paul's Cathedral, the old St. Paul's Cathedral in London, was also an eloquent poet named John Donne, one of the great English and religious poets. And in a series of poems called the Holy Sonnets, sonnets because they are only a certain number of lines long, he writes, "Batter my heart, three-person God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, or throw me, and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new. I, like a usurped town, to another do, labor to admit you, but oh, to no end. Reason, your viceroy in me, me should defend, but is captived, and proves weak and untrue. Yet dearly I love you, and would be loved fain, but am betrothed unto your enemy. Divorce me, untie or break that knot again. Take me to you, imprison me, for I, except you enthrall me, shall never be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me." That would appear just a tad intense. But in this poem, he's having it out with God. You want me to be the way you want me to be, then break me, beat me, mold me. In other words, Lord, do your job on me. I can't be chaste unless you ravish me. Think of that image. I don't think I need to get more specific. There are children present. I can't be free unless you imprison me. And such prayers like that might be shocking for us to hear. If I had a nickel for every time I got into a conversation in multiple contexts of people who somehow think it is offensive to God to be angry or to have it out with God. And yet, in our first reading, we hear something very similar coming from Jeremiah. It's a shocking beginning to a very well-known passage in which Jeremiah says, "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped." And even today's first reading is only about half of that passage that we find in the Scriptures, and in fact could be like a small sonnet, only a few verses long. But what is Jeremiah doing? He's taking out his frustrations on God. Jeremiah is aptly known as the father of lamentation. And he is at least accredited, traditionally accredited, to being the author of the Book of Lamentations. And in fact, most, if not over half, of the prayers in the Old Testament alone are lamentations, in which they are mourning to God, having it out with God, confronting God, asking God, "Are you there or not? Are you going to rescue us or not? We have been unfaithful, but are you going to be faithful or not?" And in light of the fact that so many people that I've encountered as a priest seem to think this kind of sentiment is offensive to God, I suppose the basic message that we get from such passages as Jeremiah is, it's okay. You're not going to be struck by lightning. The earth is not going to open you up and swallow you. God knows your feelings and your sentiments. We need to be honest with God. Jeremiah was, and he had good reason to. First of all, he was young when God called him to be a prophet, and among his first questions he asked God was, "Will the people listen?" And God answered him plainly, "No. The people will not listen to you. In fact, they will persecute you. They will imprison you. But I will be with you to deliver you." And Jeremiah is frustrated with God. And as our first reading says, he tells himself, "I will speak no more in his presence. I will say no more. I will no longer prophesy. But his word bubbles up inside of me and I can't help it." We too may have had experiences in which we grow frustrated with God. A tragedy, hard times. This could be the prayer of the people of southern Texas and Louisiana on the heels of Hurricane Harvey. And we remember today our President Donald Trump, who has asked us to keep those people in prayer. We have a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, just as we did the days following 9/11. And we keep them in prayer. But who knows the sentiments that they are going through, and then with another hurricane heading in their direction as they are trying to clean up from the previous hurricane. At a certain point, there's nothing wrong with praying, Lord, give us a break. Lord, what are you up to? Lord, are you a loving God or not? Or as Tevye says in Fiddler on the Roof, Lord, I know we are God's chosen people, but for once could you choose someone else? We have such saints as Teresa of Avila. The story is told as she was on a journey. Her wagon broke down, to which she prayed up to God and said, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few. I'm sure that sounds a lot worse in Spanish. But what Jesus gives us as a reminder in today's gospel is not judging by our standards, but by God's. It's one thing to say, Lord, why have I not made $1 million? Are you there or not? Are we praying to God by our own human standards? Or do we keep God's standards in mind as we pray to God, as we reflect on difficult times, as we rejoice in good times? It's easy to be happy when we have worldly prosperity and be angry at God when we don't have worldly prosperity. It's easy to be happy when everything goes our way and be angry at God when things don't go our way. But do we keep God's standards in mind when we come to reflect upon God's actions in our lives? And when we come before God, do we come often like a husband and wife when one spouse comes home at the end of the day, the other says, how was your day, dear? And the answer is, just fine. Obviously, we know things are not just fine. God, too, knows the inner sentiments of our being, in our minds, in our hearts, our emotions, our thoughts. God knows them. In our prayer, we are called to be honest with God. No one less than Pope Francis has said the same. He said, don't be afraid to call God out. Don't be afraid to remind God of his promises. Because prayer is an honest exchange between two individuals who love each other. And if we are having a terrible day or going through a terrible time, I'm sure the last thing God wants to hear is another Hail Mary. But do we bring honesty in our prayer, keeping those standards of God before us? And in doing so, our relationship with God is not alienated, but rather deepened. Because like the prophets, we realize that our connection with God is deep enough that we can be perfectly comfortable with complete honesty with God. On the one hand, we have the prayers that we pray and that we know by rote. Lord, you are all loving. Lord, you are all natural and less filling. Lord, you are one, etc., etc., etc. But there are times when one just needs to lay it all out there with God. And it is okay. It is not a sin to be angry at God. If it were a sin, every prophet of the Old Testament would be in hell. Half the psalmists in the Old Testament would not be in heaven, because most of the prayers that we find, especially in the Old Testament, are classified as lamentation. And if we see that in the example of the holy writers, how much more honest must we be? So let us look at the example of Jeremiah. And regardless of what our emotions happen to be, let us be true and honest in our prayer to God. And for once, folks, please spread the word. I know how gossipy Catholics can be, but they never seem to spread messages like this. It is not a sin to be angry at God.